Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 8, where we see that amidst a world in turmoil and unrest that is at the forefront of our daily lives, Pastor Dave preaches a dynamic message about how God is in control, even when the world around us is in chaos. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 9, verse 1.
There are snack stops. Like, there's rest stops and snack stops, and, you know, people are stopping every so often. They're having a cappuccino, they're having an ice cream, and they're just sitting on the stone and they're beholding everything. This mountain range here that I believe we're reading of, Mount Hermon, that the Caesarea Philippi is at the base of. You can see snow at the top. I've been there in November. I've been there in March. They say all year long you can see snow at the top. If they're making their way up from the slopes of Caesarea Philippi up to the top or close to the top, as it says they go up high, you know, they're walking with sandals. They're wearing their robes. They're following Jesus. We know that Jesus liked to pray early in the morning. We find him out there praying early in the morning. It's biblical. Seek his face before you see anyone else's face. Perhaps they were making their way to the top through the night. And as this happens, it tells us he begins to be transfigured. There's this metamorphosis that takes place before them. And we're told by Mark here, who's influenced by Peter in verse 3, that his raiment, his clothes, he goes from wearing like a carpenter's probably dirty garment to this garment becoming shining, literally glistening, exceedingly white as snow, so much so that no bleach in the washing machine can make him like this. And Matthew says that his face is shining like the sun. Luke tells us that his garments are glistening like lightning shooting forth light. You imagine the appearance here of Jesus, this metamorphosis. What was inside of him was coming out of him. Not light shining upon him from the Father. Some people say, oh, that was when the Father like put the spotlight on Jesus and revealed who he really was to Peter, James, and John. That's not what this is. This is actually the glory of Jesus now being leashed out, letting out. It's coming forth. Now, this is who he really is coming forth. Behold him. Spurgeon says this, quote, he says, it's forever his glory that he concealed his glory. That though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. That he concealed his glory throughout his earthly ministry, but at this point, he doesn't conceal. At this point, the Son of God was breaking out of the cocoon of, the Son of God was breaking out of the cocoon of the Son of Man. There's this shining forth of his glory, of his majesty before these followers of his. And there appeared unto him, verse 4 says, Elijah, who represents the prophets, with Moses, who represents the law. Moses been dead 1,400 years. Elijah's been translated up. He didn't die. He was translated in chariot fire. They say some almost 900 years. And here they are on the scene. They come back in this manner. And they're talking with Jesus. The construction demands, it was derative. It was a prolonged conversation. And Luke tells us what it was about. It was about Jesus' exodus. That's the word in the Greek. His exodus that would take place in Jerusalem. His crucifixion. So you imagine the conversation. I mean, you imagine the comfort that they were bringing. The encouragement that they were probably bringing about what was ahead of him. No doubt there was this struggle in his humanity of what he was to face, of what he was up against. And here is the representative of the law, and here is the representative of the prophets encouraging him, speaking to him about these things. And as this is happening, we are told in the other Gospels that these three fall asleep. Peter, James, and John, they zonk out. They fall asleep in the midst of this whole thing. So, I mean, if people fall asleep in the middle of the Transfiguration, I say it's not so bad if they fall asleep at a midweek Bible study. If you're sleeping, sleep on. I mean, seriously, if you guys teach the word, if anybody here teaches the word, you think, well, people seem bored. I mean, Jesus is transfiguring himself, and his guys are falling asleep. I got no hats, tricks up my sleeve. If I can't keep you, then I'm like, well, he didn't keep them. And he's literally allowing this bursting forth of his nature to be on display. But they're exhausted. They're on this pathless journey as far as they're concerned. They didn't know how the story was going to unfold. They didn't read this ahead. They're just following the Lord. He says, you three come. And they go on this crazy hike, 10,000 feet in elevation, making their way up. I mean, you think about the climbing and the heavy breathing and the looking at each other, like, where are we going? And then they get to wherever they're headed on this mountain range, and Jesus is like, we came to pray. And you think about, like, what that would be to you if you had climbed all this way. What did we come here for? What's going to be up here? That's so spectacular. The Lord just says, oh, I brought you here away from everything out there just to commune. I mean, there's parallels in this for us tonight. The Lord, you know, we want there to be something crazy and fascinating so many times, but the Lord will say to you and I, hey, listen, I just needed you. I just wanted to get you to detach from everything that's out there. It's vying for your attention, just so I could have you with me in my presence for a few minutes. This pathless journey. Sometimes don't you feel like you're on a pathless journey? Sometimes don't you feel like, man, like as a nation, as an individual, where are we going? What is going on? And the Lord's saying, hey, I'm in control of all this. I'm leading you, I'm guiding you, I'm directing you, and I'm wanting to bring you into further intimacy with me, which is had by prayer. So these guys are sleeping. They're talking. We're told that as this is happening, Peter answered. But did you notice in verse at the end of verse 4 and into verse 5, nobody asked Peter a question? You see how I don't know how much you're paying attention right now, but there was never a question asked at the end of verse 4. And then verse 5 says, and Peter answered. Nobody asked Peter anything. Peter just wakes up to this scene here. He sees what's going on. He says to Jesus, Master, he says, it is good for us to be here. That's what he comes up with, you know. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We should build these temporary habitations, these homes, right here. Let's just stay right here. And then it tells us here, in verse 6, because Mark probably said, as he's penning, wait a minute, that's what you said? Like, that's the best that you can come up with? And Peter probably said, I didn't know what else to say, because that's what it says in verse 6. They were sore afraid, they were terrified, and he didn't know what to say. And Luke says, nor did he know what he said. He didn't even know what he said, and he didn't know what to say. He was just, like, so blown away by what was in front of him. He says, let's just stay here. Let's just build three homes for the three of you. But the problem is the three of them aren't equal. The law, the prophets, man that God uses, they're not equal to Jesus. He stands alone. So to give them equal glory or equal weight is inappropriate. Nobody shares the glory with Jesus. And that's our problem so many times. That's what's a stumbling block so many times. We have Uzziahs in our life. We erect things, people, whatever it would be, and we place them in the highest place alongside the Lord. And there's not to be anybody alongside the Lord. Those things got to go. That's where we set ourselves up for discouragement. That's where we set ourselves up for despondency. This is where we get wrecked, man, is when we put our hope, we put our trust in anyone else equal to Jesus. And he's teaching them that right now. These are good Jewish boys. Elijah is greatly revered. You go to Israel today and you celebrate Passover with these people and you'll see you celebrate the Sabbath with them and they still set up a spot for Elijah at the table. There's an empty spot. They're waiting for him to come because Malachi, the last prophet that they have recorded in the Old Testament said that he's going to come before the day of the Lord and he is going to come before the day of the Lord. But they're not understanding here what's going on. They revered him in such a manner. Moses, I mean, Jude tells us that there was a battle over Moses' body between Michael, And Satan, there's such a dispute over his body because of how revered he would be. Satan could use the body of Moses if he had access to it to mess with people. He was so just deified, if you would. So the Lord's teaching these guys, Moses, Elijah, they're not equal to me. They don't share in my glory. For Isaiah, 700 years before, King Uzziah might have been a great king. He doesn't share his glory with me. Listen, President Trump, he doesn't share glory with Jesus. President-elect Biden, it doesn't matter who it is. We don't take man and elevate them equal to the King of Kings. And we get ourselves in trouble when we do. He stands alone. So we don't give equal glory to anyone with the Lord. If you got nothing else tonight and you don't get anything else, you take that with you. You give Jesus alone his rightful place. You keep cultivating in this journey that might seem pathless. Maybe you feel right now in this, man, I feel like we're on a pathless journey. That's fine. You just keep following Jesus. You just keep seeking the Lord through prayer. Keep letting him develop that. The art of praying is a labor. It's not something that we as humans just naturally do. Talk to somebody that we can't see. You think about what prayer is, the faith that it requires, that is he really listening? Is he really going to answer? Does he really honor prayers? We're told in the scripture that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're just to keep plugging in and praying. We're let all of our supplication and prayer be made known unto him. We're to cast all of our cares on him, knowing that he cares for us. We got to keep asking him to open those scriptures to us. And in these days that seem pathless in our journey, we got to say, Lord, keep teaching us how to be prayer warriors. As we follow after you, as we only lift you up above all else. So Peter here, he gives the best he's got. He's like, we should do this. We should build these homes for the three of you. Didn't know what to say, and he didn't know what he said. And as he's speaking here, there's this abruptness in the language. There's this suddenness. At verse 7, all of a sudden, the impression is in the Greek that there came this cloud that was over them. We're told in the other Gospels that it was a bright cloud. We're familiar with clouds in Scripture, okay? This cloud, it's the Shekinah glory. It's the glory of the Father. There's this cloud that overshadowed them, and there's this voice that came out of the cloud, and we have the Father's voice three times recorded for us in the earthly ministry of Jesus, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." But it's better in the language, okay? The structure here in the language, the inference in the language is, this is my only son. This is my only son, the beloved one. And then what he says here when he says, hear him, it's present imperative. So it's like this. This is my only son, my beloved one. You have to hear him. It's not a suggestion. It's not optional. It's imperative. You have to hear him, and you must continually hear him. Same thing tonight. The words resound from the pages in our ears. This is my representative. This is my display of my glory. That's what John says when he would write of this in John 1, verse 14. We beheld him, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The fullness of his grace and the fullness of his truth is his glory. You understand? The fullness of his grace and the fullness of his truth is his glory. And that is what we are to be giving ourselves to. You have to hear him and you have to continually hear him. And you don't need to necessarily do that with anybody else apart from him that isn't speaking his words, because it's going to get you in trouble. It's going to mess you up. In this season, guys, this is what's imperative for you right now. You've got to do this. It's not a suggestion. You've got to keep giving your ear to the word of God, and you got to keep pursuing him in prayer. It says it to us tonight. What do? You're on a pathless journey, it seems. You're in maybe a dry spot personally, individually. We haven't had church in midweek for weeks now. Maybe you're losing contact with Christians. Maybe you don't have a ton of camaraderie outside this place, and there's not a lot of opportunity like there used to be for fellowship for obvious reasons. Maybe you're really struggling. Maybe you're really dried up. Maybe you really just feel like, man, I don't know, this is getting more and more difficult. I just feel like everything around us is negative. It's just heavy right now. And the Lord says, okay, in this season, in this place, just keep giving your ear to the words of Jesus. You don't got to listen to anyone else's voice. Just whoever's speaking the words of Jesus, give your ear to that. You can, maybe for right now, maybe in this season, put away the podcast. Maybe in this season, not that these are bad things, but maybe for you guys, maybe for me, maybe the talk radios sucking the life out of us. Maybe all the news, maybe you're a news junkie. You can't stop with the news. Maybe all the news, you got to just shut it off. And the Lord says, the only voice you really need to hear in this season is my only son, my begotten son. Words of eternal truth, words of eternal life. And keep pursuing him in prayer. Get a glimpse of his glory. The fullness of grace and truth. It's kind of just you think about that. Truth is unforgiving. Truth is unyielding. Truth is harsh. It needs to be. That's what makes it truth. It has to be absolute. If it's truth, it has to be absolute. Unyielding, unforgiving, harsh. And Jesus is that, but equally grace. So that's why if you say, Lord, I want to be like you, I want to catch a glimpse of you tonight, I want to see you in your glory, and then I want to reflect that. If you really want to be a person of grace and truth, you're not going to stand with a lot of people because people tend to lean one way more so than the other, and then they don't know what to do with a person who has a balance of both. They didn't know what to do with Jesus. He was an enigma. People tend to lean towards the real harsh. They want to be, everything's truth. They're so right, they're dead right. It gets them in a lot of trouble. You become very religious. You become a legalist a lot of times. And other people say, well, there's grace, and they wink at every sin. There's nothing, there's never truth. It's just always, well, I don't know, maybe they were feeling this way or feeling that way. But when you got both from being with Jesus, when you got a balance of both, people don't know what to do with you. So this is a lonely place. These guys were just the three of them and Jesus. It would be lonely when you seek to reflect the glory of the Lord. Because we're talking about this. Now we're saying, hey, you know, you're going to go back down from the mountain. This is the mountain. You're going to go back to the world should Jesus tarry another day. Wherever he's called you, you all got a mission field. I don't know where your place of employment is or your home life, your neighborhood, but I got to go back and you got to go back and we got to go back. And if we're going to rightly reflect him, you know, it's going to be lonely. It's going to be lonely. People aren't going to know necessarily what to do with you. But this is what the glory of Jesus was, that he was completely both, full of grace, full of truth. It's all coming out, this metamorphosis, the opposite of masquerading. Masquerade is when I put a mask on to fool you to think I'm somebody that I'm not. That's what we got in front of us all around us. It's exhausting. It's disgusting. You don't know who to believe. Who's wearing a mask? Who isn't wearing a mask? Masquerade. Jesus is the opposite of, he doesn't masquerade. He metamorphosizes himself, and this majesty exudes from him. The world needs less masquerading, less mask wearing, less phony baloney nonsense represented by spiritual pious people. The world needs less of that, more sincerity, just being genuinely who you are in Christ and letting his glory of grace and truth, you know, shine through you. Moses, when he received the commandments, he went to the mount of the Lord. He came down shining brightly. That's what happens. You hang with Jesus, you're going to shine. You're imperfect. You don't have everything together, but you're getting a greater grasp of grace and truth in his glory. That is his glory. Comes through you. Listen, don't capitulate. You hear what I'm saying to you? Don't capitulate. It is the church. People are thrown in the towel, man. They're just giving up. They're just being shaken. It's just too much. It's too hard. The days are too dark. They're letting the world system around them affect them too much. Don't do it. Stay close to Jesus. We need to wake up. There's like a lethargy, big time, that has settled in. We got to wake up. It's not over yet. The Lord's not done. The world is lost. America is certainly seeming very lost right now, but it's not forsaken. Okay, so ask him tonight to give you a bounce in your step. This is my beloved son. Hear him. He's speaking. Hear him. He's speaking. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, it tells us in verse 8, they didn't see anybody anymore. Elijah, Moses, They're gone. Maybe they'll be back. Revelation, we'll get there in chapter 11. Maybe these are the two. Certainly Elijah is the one of them, two witnesses. And it says that they saw no man no more, save Jesus only with themselves. We'll pause there. It takes us into another subject matter if we keep reading on, even though it connects. We'll use verse 9 to tie us into our next thought next time. But that's where we want to be tonight. Jesus only, maybe you just need to write next to themselves, myself. Jesus only with myself, and he's enough. Jesus, I got Jesus. That's it. Well, this happened today with the Senate, and this happened today with the White. Listen, you got Jesus. He said, even to the end of the age, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He told us through Paul's writing that he has sealed us with the Spirit of God to the day of redemption. We're not orphans. We're not abandoned. We've got Jesus. We've got Jesus with us. Let him show you his glory. Let him reveal to you his word and keep pursuing him with prayer. Amen. Father, thanks for this night. We thank you for your word, for worship, God. We thank you that even in this dry and dreary season, Lord, we have you to set our eyes upon. We do that tonight, God. We deliberately, intentionally set our eyes upon you. We long for the day, Lord, when we behold your glory and the fullness of it. But until that day, Lord, keep giving us glimpses as we seek you through your word and through prayer, Lord. Continue to prompt our hearts to will and to do of your good pleasure so that we can be impactful to the world, to the culture that's all around us. If our hearts, God, are numb, if we're indifferent, if we're calloused, if we're discouraged, if we feel let down, Lord, we pray tonight that you'd strengthen our weary hands, that you lift our weary heads. Put a bounce back into our steps, Lord. Let your joy be our strength. Let us not give in, Lord. Our flesh is weary, Lord. Help us not to give in to the flesh, but to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep putting it in our hearts, though none go with me, still I will follow. These Uzziah moments, this king's gone, this person's gone, this friend that once sat at church with me, they're not here. My spouse doesn't want to come, Lord. In these moments where we're stripped of other humans' presence, God, let us know that we have you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right.